I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Episode was to talk about some of the women's divisions in Tampa. So I want to move into that a little bit and just ask you guys, you know, Jordan, let me ask you, what division do you think is going to have the best competition in Tampa?
The one that always is the same answer every time. Women's contact. They hit the hardest. Okay. I don't care what anyone says. I'm sorry. They hit the hardest. They complain the least. I was like, can you guys teach the men to stop crying? That would be fantastic. It would be glorious. You guys, I would pay you guys to have a tutorial to tell men to literally soak up their tears. It is awful. But it is my favorite. It is my favorite contact, or it is my favorite format to watch, hands down.
Yeah, no, definitely. Dean, how about you? What are your thoughts? What do you think is going to be most competitive?
I think definitely Olympic, because you've got the U.S. versus international now. So you've got all of the best teams from not only the U.S., but from around the world as well, competing against each other. There could be shocks, there could be surprises, upsets. Who knows? I just think with Olympic this year, because you're doing the U.S. versus international, you got the best of the best from both places. So I think that's definitely going to be the most competitive.
Yeah, no, and I don't know if it was last year the first year of Olympic, or was it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy to think about, because I think, you know, last year, yeah, there were some international teams in there and some of the top teams played in it, but it's exploded this year. I mean, it's crazy, both on the men's and the women's side. So many international teams. But also on the U.S. side of it, it's cool to see, you know, like YPG is signed up in the men's, you know, there's, also just a lot of the top women's teams are playing as well. So, everybody knows that's the televised, right? Is that like, that's not a secret.
I don't know. Probably. Who knows?
No. There was a video. There was a video that was put out like a few weeks ago. It's just about one of the games being televised. It was like, look at who we are as I flag. There was an I flag video. It was like, welcome to the new rebrand, and then it showed the picture of it. This year we will be live on TV. Yeah, no, you're covered, bro.
CBS will be recording.
Okay, I saw that had been announced. So that's exciting about that, and I think that brings in the you know, some more attention to it and everything like that. So, guys,
I will say that, like, the women's Airing Out Pro this year. When I was going through the prep work for this, there's like what 25 teams sign up for that division. It's crazy. Yeah. And there's like it's all like insane teams. Utah Sting, Sub-Zero, Cayenne, Great Britain signed up for that Airing Out too. China, like, it's if you know, if Olympic doesn't give you a run for the money, women's Airing Out Pro definitely will.
Yeah, and like the crazy thing is, these teams are like, it's not just like people claiming to be part, you know, like connected to the country. Like the Great Britain team, it is the national team that's coming.
Yep.
The you know, the Chinese national team is coming. Like, this is really exciting stuff. You know, back to the Olympic, there's like 11 Canadian teams signed up for that. I mean, crazy stuff. And then the other division that I feel like, I don't know, just maybe it's just that kind of continued to pick up steam as it gets played in tournaments, but Coed Aired Out seems like this just crazy competitive division all of a sudden. And I'm excited to see how that goes. I think there's been a lot of like roster, like who's going to play with who's, you know, which male quarterback got, you know, some of the top female receivers, things like that. So I'm excited to see how that goes as well.
I got a message from our Cayman national team coach. He's watching. So shout out to Cayman. You know, they're also competing this year at Worlds, which is awesome. They do every year. But they signed up for more divisions this year. And there's actually club teams coming as well, which is great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Jordan?
Oh, I don't even know now. Dean just cut me off, you know, just very rudely. It's okay. No, I'm just playing, Dean. I'm just playing. Sexy. No. To go off what you said, I do think that there was a post on Facebook that was just full of comments, and I had to go back and make sure I was reading the right thing, and it was pro aired out co-head. And I was just confused. I'm like, are y'all just new to this? You guys are talking a bunch of junk, or like, what's going on? And it was like, there was like some veteran players in there. They're like, oh, well, you know, now that we do this, it's going to be different this year. So that's actually one of the formats that I'm hoping I can be able to see, because I have not seen that format yet. In action. So I definitely want to see, you know, like the ins and outs and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob, but like the first time that was like played maybe was where it was competitive was Nashville. I don't know.
I think once, but Vegas was the first time.
Okay.
Wasn't it offered before the first time it was played and no one signed up for it? Or there was like three teams and then they were like, okay. And then it was Vegas. And when Vegas, okay, because I thought that it was offered here on the East Coast, and it didn't go well. It went to the West Coast in Vegas, and it was like, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, Vegas. I think Vegas was the first time. I want to say we had it in San Antonio that year.
Yeah,
and then Nashville. It wasn't a super consistent one, but the more people are playing it, the more they're enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, I think it's just I think it's helped because. Is there pro and comp in it? I didn't even look if there were.
Yeah. There's a pro rec and comp division.
Yeah, so that's proof of that it's not just an open division anymore. So,
yeah, facts.
Even more people are signing up for it than, you know, Ace Contact.
Why is Ace Contact still a thing?
You know,
just people.
Hey, the same reason that everyone that works in the government is 87. They won't let it go. Okay.
Great analogy, Jordan. I love that.
Bro, yeah. It's over. It's over with, dude. Just walk away.
Walk away. Just walk away.
Cool. Well, anyway, guys, I appreciate you guys both coming on. You know, we love having you guys whenever you're able to. We got another guest coming on. So absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Fellas, thank you very much. No worries. It's always a pleasure.
See you soon.
I apologize for nothing that happens between me and you whenever I see your face.
I fully accept that, buddy. Are you gonna chest bump me and nearly kill me? That's the only thing.
Twice.
Oh my gosh, they weren't gonna stop.
They were gonna kiss. Okay. So, hey guys, so we're excited to have Infinite Flag as an official sponsor of the Clocks Running Podcast. If you play Flag, you already know how hard it is to find gear that made specifically for the sport. And it's exactly why Infinite Flag exists. They're Flag Football's first premium apparel brand, creating high-quality gear built from performance, comfort, and style on and off the field. From their zippered pocket shorts to long-sleeve tees, lightweight joggers, and more, hats, all sorts of stuff. They've built a lineup that truly supports Flag athletes on and off the field. They're a brand we know, we love, and we proudly stand by. Make sure you guys use code CLOCKSRUNNING to get 15% off whatever you order, whatever you buy, and let them know we sent you.
Yeah, appreciate Infinite Flag and all they're doing, and they're gonna have like a new colorway for Tampa, I'm sure, and they a couple episodes ago they dropped the ref shorts that they're doing, and then what was the other thing, like a windbreaker, I think, they've had that for a bit.
They've got the hoodie they dropped. Yep, they dropped the hoodie.
So they got some cool stuff as well, and we appreciate all they're doing. Jacob, real quick, I want to ask you, if you were up late one night and looking for something to eat, how many pizza rolls do you think you could eat before you passed out?
47 easy.
Okay.
That's a whole bag.
Right. 47 is a whole bag.
I think it's 48, actually. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Speaking of 48. That's a good introduction.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
I don't know about 48. I'm 50, and I'm proud of it.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And wow.
Make the 45 and up division as a 50-year-old. I'll say that.
What's up, man? Welcome back to the States.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm in Tampa right now training in China, so it's been a pretty cool experience. So we found a good spot and we're training here in Wesley Chapel. Actually, it's not in Tampa, but pretty close.
Okay, yeah,
we're training here, and Nelson Aguilar. I don't know if y'all know him, but he helped us out with a gym and a training facility, along with, you know, my buddy Unk, which, you know, nice hat you got there.
Hey, Jake. You same here, man. I was going to see what you got.
I've had my gear for about 6 months, just sitting there waiting to use it. So,
yeah,
but, I'm excited about this tournament. You guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Pat, just to, you know, you're talking about, being in Tampa and everything. I do want to hear about the experience of the Chinese teams being in Texas. Tell me the good and bad and ugly about how that was.
The experience itself was pretty great. The adjustment of, they didn't play Olympic style. They played the local non-contact style, which is three downs, pitching. And, you know, there's a lot of different rules between the two. So they had to adjust to that. But they did well. I think the speed of the game is different here. The physicality of the game is a little different here. So all those things were really good for us, helped us going into Asia Oceania as far as doing those things. And the girls, they got to compete against boys, obviously not pro team boys, but they got to compete against other rec team boys, and they actually beat two different boys teams, which is really impressive to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got, you know, really good practice, really good games. Nobody was, I guess, misbehaving. Everybody was pretty cool with everybody. There was professional courtesy amongst everybody as far as the, you know, competitiveness and everything. There was no fights or anything like that. But
that's good.
The Chinese national team's not looking to do that. They line up. They're ready to play football. And then at the end of the day, they're going to shake your hand. They're not trying to talk trash, you know. They're okay with it if you do. They'll turn it up just as much as anybody, but they're not really there for that. That, you know, they're more, I guess, focused on the game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And I mean, there was definitely, it showed in the Asia Oceania tournaments. I think a lot of people after the World Games kind of knew that the women's team was going to be right up there contending for the, you know, for the medals. American Samoa, they had a lot of American players. You know, how was that? You know, was it just that game kind of, I mean, it was back and forth, but what ultimately happened with that game, do you feel like?
Yeah, I mean, our defense wasn't ready for them. We didn't prepare for them as much going into it. We prepared for Japan. We prepared for Australia. We prepared for New Zealand. America Samoa honestly came out of nowhere. I don't know if they've ever had a team like that before. I mean, I don't even know if what they're doing is allowed in the Olympics. I know it's allowed in IFAF, but I don't know how that whole thing works as far as having American citizens playing for American Samoa without Samoan heritage. I don't really know how that works. So if it does work that way, where they're allowed to have Americans, that's gonna change the flag world, in my opinion. Depending on how many NFL players play for USA Football, if any play, and if they do play, then what are they gonna do with the remaining U.S. players that don't make the national team? Are they gonna be able to try out for America Samoa? I don't know. That whole thing is a whole different thing to me. I don't know how that's all gonna be decided and who's eligible, who's not. If they're allowing that, though, I don't know why American Samoa wouldn't be like the second or third best swimming team in the world and track team in the world. So I don't know how,
right.
But I don't know if it's allowed in the Olympics, but it was allowed in Asia Oceania. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know that they, I mean, talking to some of the players, that team like formed like 2 months before the tournament. Like it was, it all happened very quickly. It's yeah. weird because there's like, they're considered I think nationalists of the, like they can't
they're
vote.
Like Puerto Rico.
Yeah. It's similar to Puerto Rico. So
maybe,
so it's weird in that there is kind of a different, I guess, aspect of it. Almost similar to how with Israel, I mean, essentially someone could convert to Judaism and they could play for an Israeli team because then they're
your religion.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're
be at least born or have family from Israel in order for that to happen.
No, you can be, yeah, you could be Jewish because then you're part of that nation.
Okay. I mean, it's all new to me, but we did not plan on America Samoa. We didn't know that they were going to be what they were or are. But they're playing in Tampa too, so that'll be interesting to see how they do. I mean, I know a couple of those guys actually, you know, from California, from Curry Bombers and from Ronin or whatever teams, you know, those guys play on.
Yeah.
I've seen them. Some of them almost made the American national team, or at least were going to get invites. By my selection when I was in LA scouting. So some of them are really, really good. So, you know, props to them. But yeah, I don't know how it works as far as being a U.S. California citizen without, maybe they are American Samoa. Maybe they have Samoan heritage. I don't know. I wasn't aware of it before that, but I really wasn't aware of America Samoa as a flag football team until Asia Oceania. So, you know, some of this is new.
Yeah, no, definitely. So now shifting to Tampa, you know, you got the teams there training and everything. You've drafted now. You know, what matchups are you looking forward to with these teams?
I know some of the teams, but I don't. So I just know there were certain teams that I was trying to avoid, at least in pool play. So we get in the playoffs and then figure that out. I don't know if we got a good draw or not as far as some of these teams, because I don't know the names. I know the countries where that they're from, and those countries, their national teams are extremely good. So it all depends on how many national players are on that team, or are there any, or are they just a very, very good club team? You know, if you play a team from Mexico, for the most part, even if they're a club team, they're going to know what they're doing because they play against really, really good players. Same thing with US, same thing with Canada. And then Great Britain's national team, obviously I know Jack Reed, he's a friend of mine. So, we're not playing them, but we are actually scrimmaging them prior to the tournament. We're playing, Warner University and them at Warner. So that'll be fun too, right before the tournament.
Nice.
Yeah. So that'll be good practice.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And so Olympic, what else are you guys playing? Air it out, regular five.
Olympic and air it out. That's the only two divisions we're playing. We were going to play the other ones, but with the three downs and the pitching, It doesn't really play the game the same way. So I didn't want to affect them, you know, because on third down when the drive's over, they're looking at me like, what happened? How did we get the ball? You know,
it's just,
they're so used to four downs. They're so used to being able to run at midfield. They're so used to side snapping without going through the legs. There's so many things that are just little details, but they're different. We prepared for those two styles, and I know air it out is not Olympic, but at least it's
close.
Four downs, and it's more similar. Obviously, you can't run the ball, but other than that, it's pretty similar.
Yeah,
and I saw you guys do have to play injured reserve, the men's team in air it out, so that should be an interesting game.
Yeah, there's a couple of games that I don't know. It's going to be tough, but you know, we have most of our national team on the guys' side. I would say we're missing two of our really good players, but that will work itself out in the next 6 months or so. They'll be back with the team. And then the women's team has 95-98% of everybody we need. They're willing to miss, you know, very, very few people. So I'm excited about that too.
Nice.
Yeah.
As a fan of the sport, what are you most excited about with this giant tournament?
I just want them to experience this whole thing. You know, going to a big tournament is one thing. Going to this tournament is a whole other thing. It's an experience. Yeah. You get to see things that you just don't. You don't get to see this in other countries. You don't get to see this many teams, this many fields, this many refs, and championship games. The way the championship field was set up last year was great, especially for the CBS broadcast and everything like that. So, you know, you see people surrounding the fields, watching the game. Pretty much the whole tournament kind of stops to watch it. Not exactly, but kind of. So it's an experience that I want them to see. I want them to see the speed of the game, and I want them to, you know, just see some of the best players in the world that they probably haven't seen in international play, even though they've been to the World Games and they've been to Asia Oceania versus, you know, North America, South America, European, some of those teams. It's just a little different. So it'll be an experience, and really just the knowledge and the just process of this whole getting used to playing in the U.S. is good for them. And we might even be coming back in March for another tournament in Vegas. So that would be great for them too.
Nice. I think
the more they can travel, the more they can play new teams, see different styles. Cause even in the U.S., East Coast teams, Texas teams, Florida teams, West Coast, everybody, they all have different things that they do.
Yep.
More different varieties of offense and defensive approaches they can see, the better they'll get, in my opinion.
That was my next question is, do you think this is, you mentioned Vegas, but do you think this is kind of a continual thing that trying to bring these teams over to the United States as much as possible?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to try and get them as much experience between U.S., Mexico, Europe, obviously China. We're going to get games and tournaments there as well. But just as many different experiences, different approaches, different game plans that we see from other places, we're going to try and get as much as we can as far as different reps and different looks.
Yeah. And, I we're starting to see, and maybe just because of the power of social media, that they're – are some pretty big tournaments, like Australia just had one a few weeks ago. You know, there's ones in Thailand and other parts of Asia. Of course, Europe has one. Do you break the players up, or you do try to keep them as a whole and just face these club teams kind of as a national team?
Yeah, we try and keep it together just because our overall game plan, at least for the women, is Germany. Whatever we're preparing for, everything ends up focusing on Germany. So, because if you can finish in the top three there, you're going to the Olympics, and that's the goal. We go to the Olympics, everything changes for, not for us, but for anybody that qualifies, because now you're talking, we're not trying to qualify anymore. We're there now.
Yeah.
We have to focus on who's going to be our final 10, not our final 12. Cause right now in the tournaments you play in IFAF, you're allowed 12. But who's going to be our final 10? Who's going to be this position? Who's going to be this position? And then we really start to fine-tune all the details on, you know, can we get any better at this spot, or do we just stick with what we have and make them better as a player? So, you know, that's the goal, is to get to Germany and qualify. And obviously that's a very, very high-end goal. But, you know, we started off ranked, I think, 38th or something like that, and now we're ranked 18th. But we beat some top 10 teams along this process. So maybe 18, maybe a little high for us. IFAF, you know, entitled to have their own ranking system. But you put me up against 10 to 18, and I thought we're going to follow them. And the top 10 is a different conversation. But I think we'll earn our respect in Germany, and we'll go from there.
So let me ask this. So You went through the U.S. trials, you know, for the last few years. Is it the same in China, how you guys select the team? Was the team selected for you when you got there? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, the team itself was not selected, but most of the players that I was selecting from were already selected when I got there. There was 24 guys and like 32 girls. And we've kind of gone through there and changed it quite a bit. And now we have access to rugby, volleyball, basketball, soccer. So we're starting to reach into other cross sports. And I have gathered a couple of girls that I'm hoping can transition maybe as quick as Germany. I don't know. Learning a brand new game is not an easy thing to do. But if they can take the Olympic quality athlete that they are and turn themselves into a flag football athlete, then I could see them making the 10 going into Germany, or making the 12 going into Germany and then figuring out the 10 after. But you're talking about speed that maybe some other countries don't even have. So right. If I can, you know, take that athleticism and make them a flag football player, then it might turn us into not only a top 10, but a top 5 team in the world. So it's pretty exciting.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, and it's been cool to watch. It's funny, when I was watching the Asian Oceans, I definitely I could see the translation of Texas flag football especially in the men's team. I was like, yeah. This looks like I'm watching some AFL games right here. Like, yeah. So I definitely saw your effect.
I think I've put my stuff in, my input into both teams. Obviously, it was much heavier on the men's side up till now. I'm hoping moving forward it'll be on the women's side as well. But the women's game played a little bit different, so obviously I had to change my own approach based on they do things a little bit than what I do. Working on that from letting them learn what I do. Because when I coached them the World Games, it was a surprise thing. I wasn't going to be the coach. That whole thing happened while I was there in China. So that whole process happened quick, and the term was virtually nothing for me to become the coach there. So I didn't have as much time to change the things that I have at this point. So I'm hoping that we can get, sorry, I'm getting messed up.
That's so popular.
My input and changed. Well, yeah, but the message is very inappropriate. but I think the input that I'm making on it, I think will change things quite a bit for the girls. So I'm hoping that we're qualified. Germany rolls around, much less Tampa. Don't get me wrong. Win it, but it's more about the quality games we're going to get more than if we win it, fine. But I just want them to see these teams and see these girls, see the way that they things, and you know, if they get really deep or sure where it's extremely important for us.
Dude, what kind of hotel dial up Wi-Fi are you using?
Is it not working?
Now it's normal. Now it is.
Yeah. It sounded like you said a lot of good stuff just over the last 2 minutes.
I'm just so. Here's what's going to be crazy is it's going to be perfectly normal, like on Instagram right now. They probably heard it perfectly fine.
No, they're definitely commenting on it.
Kick him off.
I don't have my iPhone.
If I can do that while I'm on here. Hang on, I'm going to try and do that.
Yeah, we get rid of your face and all of a sudden it clears up.
Yeah.
Maybe some people in the comments are onto something about this ugly.
Yeah, there we go.
Did that work? Did it make it better?
It's better now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's better now.
So hopefully that works.
Yeah.
Oh, and he went away.
And he's gone.
That's all right. No, that's it's cool to hear from him just about.
Yeah.
That whole experience, and I know a lot of people were shocked because all of a sudden they turned on the World Games and here he was coaching.
There's Pat.
Yeah, so,
kind of an abrupt way, you know, for things. But I know he's, you know, he's accomplished so much in such a short amount of time. I mean, you know, I posted about it yesterday. Super proud of the dude. Don't tell me he's back. I don't want to hear me talking nice about him.
Okay, but,
Quit being nice.
I don't know if I did that or y'all did that. I don't even know.
It ain't our Wi-Fi.
No, you went away.
Yeah. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah, you were probably still talking.
That's funny. Yeah. Go ahead.
So where do you kind of mentioned that you felt like rankings wise, like where do you think the women's team lands?
In my opinion, I think they're top 10 right now. Right now, I think by the time we play Germany, I'm hoping to be top 6. So yeah,
there you go.
They're getting better fast, a little bit, obviously. You could be the best coach in the world, but if you don't have the players, then you can really do a good job of coaching, but you still need some players. And I'm hoping that maybe some of the new players that we're bringing in might improve our roster a little bit. We'll see if that can happen that quick of a turnaround, maybe a bit of a reach, but who knows? But I'm excited about the opportunity to coach them, see how fast we can turn them into flag football players, and see how good of a job I can do coaching as well. So I think I'll be okay.
And you might not know this, but so schedule-wise, I mean, there's Germany next, and then there will be the following year, there'll be another Continentals, round of Continentals.
Yeah, so they do the Continentals, each Continental, and then I think they're going to have – 10 teams probably qualify from all the Continentals combined. And then the final, depending on two spots maybe, because I know U.S. is a host country, but if U.S. qualifies in Germany, then that they would be in the top three. So that they wouldn't need to even worry about a host country spot going away. So there would be three spots open. If they don't finish in the top three, then they qualify anyway. So then there'd only be two spots open.
So do you know, because I've heard two different things about that. I've heard that it's just like any other Olympic sport, the host countries don't get an automatic bid. They just, in their qualification tournaments, they get like, there's kind of a different seeding that they'll get. But if you look at other Olympic sports or all the Olympic sports, the host country doesn't get an automatic bid for all the sports.
Oh, that's not what I heard. I heard that they do get a bid.
Yeah, see, I've known it as they get an automatic bid to the host country.
But you may be right. I don't know. I expect them to qualify regardless. U.S.
Yeah, for sure.
If they're not top three, they're definitely top six. So the fact is they're going to be there. So
Yeah, so that's so then since the men didn't make Germany, I mean, they still have the potential of, if they could win the next Continental and then, you know, kind of get in that way, do you think that gives the men's team for China enough time to be able to get into that kind of top six?
I do. I think because they don't really technically qualify until 2027, and we have some new players on that side of it as well. I've actually got two guys that are 6'6" and 6'7" that I'm pretty excited about them as athletes. I don't know if it transfers to flag football, but you can't really teach height. So if I can make them a flag football player, then I'm excited about their potential. But we'll see how it all works out. I mean, I'm doing my as far as every direction I can go, every path I can take, I'm trying different things to improve the athleticism, the rosters and everything we can do. And, you know, the top part of our roster is actually pretty good. We were scoring, golly, I don't know, probably 38 to 45 points a game. So the scoring wasn't a problem. We just have to get faster and more athletic on the defensive side, which has been my major focus in the last since Asia Oceania. So we've been really working on athleticism and defensive focus anyway.
Yeah. So losing those last two spots, it goes from a roster of 12 to a roster of 10. Does that just mean you have to have 10 players that can play multiple positions, or what's the strategy around that?
I think the answer for me is yes, but it also depends on if you're just that good and you're just that good only at receiver, I'm going to make a spot for you. I'm going to make it happen. Or if you're just that good and you're that good on defense, I'm going to make a spot for you. And then we're going to, you know, tinker with the bottom of the roster with guys like you're saying that can play both offense and defense, or yeah, rusher and receiver, or rusher and center, or whatever. Obviously, quarterback, even a person like Hoosh, a person like Pablo, they can play both sides of the ball. Velt can as well. China, we don't have that. We don't have the Hoosh, the Pablo, the guys that can play offense and defense. So we have a quarterback at this point right now. Now, he's good. He's very good, but he's more of a – like myself, like George, he's more of a Nico. He's more of a pocket passer, not a scrambler runner. So he would not be helping us on defense at all. So that puts us down to nine. But, you know, if I can get some receivers or DBs that can play two sides of the ball, then that I would definitely take that, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Pat, you got, you know, you definitely have an interesting perspective and one we appreciate. And I know you're busy with everything going on there, so we'll let you go, but we appreciate you coming on tonight.
No problem. Good to see you, fellas, and I'll see you, man, in 2 weeks. 10 days, maybe less. Yeah. Maybe less, yeah.
All right.
Sounds good, man. See you.
See you.
Oh, there we go. We had 37 people on tonight. It was amazing.
Oh, there you go. Welcome back.
Well, yeah, welcome back after Christmas break, after your knee surgery, and New Year's. We're in 2026 now. So
yeah.
Well, it's exciting stuff. Next week we have another jam-packed show planned, and then we'll be in Tampa. So
yeah.
Look at us go.
There you go.
Well, cool, man. Well, you're always good at closing out the show, so have at it.
You know where to find us. You know where to what we wear. You check all the cool gear we've got. Ant's got the sweet penalty shirt on right now. We've got the Fourth Wall website that's got all of our gear on it. You can head on over to Infinite Flag, get some dope shorts. I'm not sure if they're up on their site or not yet.
I don't think I think they're going to be ready in Tampa.
In Tampa. What I heard. Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna make a really big push for everybody to check those out. Those are eligible to wear while you are officiating. They're super comfortable. If it's anything like any of their other shorts. And of course, like I said, we've got all of our merch. Check us out for any ref shirts, any regular shirts, bean bags, hoodie, any of that stuff. Check it out. You know where you can find us. We're on Instagram, MySpace, YourSpace, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, I don't know what all the different places you can find us. Pandora, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify to listen to it. Check us out, please. You check us out there, or if you want to see the whole show, you can check it out on YouTube. And with that, the clock's been running. Clock's timed out. We'll see you guys next time.